let's continue with what we've been doing at 10 o'clock then. Let me know if you have any questions. Meanwhile, we've been going through an email that was sent to me of objections regarding mid-Acts dispensationalism from an Acts 2 dispensationalist. And so we've talked about the differences there, and each of these objections are the proper objections. They're the ones you're going to hear. If we can deal with these objections, you will not hear a different one the rest of your life. At least I haven't. If you do, let me know. These are all the objections I ever heard, which I thought was a good email to go through then, because they're all in one place and they've all been articulated clearly. So we dealt with Acts 10 and Cornelius. We dealt with Galatians 1:23, where Paul says that they heard, "I preached the faith which I once destroyed." What else do we deal with? We dealt with the church and what that meant. People say, well, the church is all throughout the Bible. And we dealt with, well, that word church just means a gathering of God's people, but the church, the body of Christ, you don't find that described anywhere in the Scripture except in Paul's epistles. And so today I want to continue on with this idea of the kingdom of God. And he says the preaching of the kingdom of God did not stop with Paul. If you look at Acts 28, verse 31. Anybody heard this objection? Talk to someone and they say, well, Paul teaches the kingdom too, because we would say that there are different gospels in the Bible, and we can go to Mark chapter 1, and as we'll do here in a moment, and we can show that Jesus taught the gospel of the kingdom, and Paul teaches the gospel of the grace of God, and how those have different content. And they'll respond with, well, Paul taught the kingdom as well. In Acts 21, verse 31, for example, the last verse in the book of Acts, that Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. So you see here, Paul is said to be preaching the kingdom of God. And this, of course, is supposed to destroy the entire idea that Paul had anything different than Peter, which is what mid-Acts teaches. And it's supposed to destroy the entire idea that the church's doctrine and pattern is found in Paul's epistles alone. Because Paul here is said to be preaching the kingdom of God. Okay? So he says, the preaching of the kingdom of God did not stop with Paul. Consider the following. Look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 11. The reason why we go through these objections is to equip you, of course, not only to understand what God's doing, but to point out that we should not and do not ignore any verse of the Bible. We need to take all of Scripture and understand it. And so it's not that we're going to set up a belief system by ignoring parts of the Bible. We're going to try to understand the Bible as it is. Okay, and so if something that we're saying or teaching is incorrect, we need to change that. And yet, when we see these objections, we see that they're really not as significant as they say. Colossians 4, verse 11. Here, Paul is listing some of his fellow workers, and he says, "And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been comforted unto me." So again, Paul in Colossians 4 says, he's got fellow workers working with him for the kingdom of God, and their circumcision. Okay, so preaching the kingdom of God did not stop with Paul, is the response to, well, Paul has a new gospel, Paul has a new ministry, Paul is preaching something different. Well, same gospel the kingdom has been preached here is what they say. If Paul is preaching a different gospel, why was he working with a Jew in the kingdom of God? If Peter had a separate gospel for the Jews, why wasn't Justice listening to Peter for salvation? And we may or may not get to that issue. But how do you respond to this? Has anybody heard this or had this question? How do you deal with it? What do you say? I can give you another verse here, which he didn't list, in Colossians 1, verse 13, where Paul says in verse 12, "We should give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son." There's another one. All right. Look at Romans chapter 14. No, I'm not reading from the email now. He gave me 2 verses. I'm giving him more. Because the point there is I know the verses he's talking about. You should not come to a persuasion of something without looking at the evidence, folks, without looking at the verses. And so only after knowing the verses should you be convinced that something is right. And so a lot of these objections, like I said, I've heard before. And before I heard them from people, I had them. To myself, I read the Bible and said, well, what about that? And I had to deal with this and handle it. And I'm raising them because you need to deal with them as well. If you haven't just been taking the mid-Acts position as, well, this must be true, you need to study for yourself these objections and be persuaded about them. Okay? Because they are worthy objections that people have, and they will be given to you. Okay.
I think it's kind of clear that he didn't have all those verses, or he would have listed them if he's trying to make a point.
Yeah, well, he may or may not have, but, you know, he only gave me a couple. But the point is that there's many more that where Paul mentions the word kingdom. Romans 14, you may have to help me with the verse reference here. 17? Thank you. Paul says, "Let not then your good be evil spoken of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." So there's another reference to the kingdom in Paul's epistles, the kingdom of God. Okay. Of course, he's describing here the nature of the kingdom not being what you eat or drink, but it's a spiritual import. It's peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. "For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." And so he's talking there about holy days and abstaining from meats and things like that. So we see Paul mentioning a few times the kingdom. In Acts 28, we see Luke describing Paul preaching the kingdom of God. And again, this is presented as an objection to what we would say, or what Mid-Acts teaches, that Paul has a different gospel. Paul has a different message. And Paul taught a different gospel than Peter. Okay. Any thoughts at this point?
A couple of thoughts that come to my mind is it's because the word kingdom shows up in more than one place doesn't mean in the context that it's always the same. But what a kingdom is a king's dominion, and God is wanting to have dominion everywhere, not just the earth, but in heaven also. Secondly, I forgot now.
You forgot the second. Yeah, I can give you a secondly. Secondly, you know, adding the kingdom to what Paul teaches doesn't say Paul didn't teach anything else. Right? So here we say Paul had a different gospel, had a new message. And how do we show that? Well, we go to Romans 16:25 to say that Paul's preaching Jesus Christ according to a mystery kept secret since the world began. Or Ephesians 3:1-2, where Paul says a dispensation was given to me of the grace of God for you. You know, and so we see many places where Paul says something was given to me, something was given to me. Galatians 1, I received it by revelation of Jesus Christ. It was given to me. Right? 1 Corinthians 9, a dispensation of the gospel was given to me. So we see over and over again, Paul says something was given to me. Okay? And so when we see that Paul's preaching the kingdom, okay, that doesn't mean he wasn't preaching the other. So just as they point out these objections, make sure when you get these objections from people, and as you're thinking in your mind, you cannot grab these verses and not look at the other ones. You've got to look at all of them, right? And that's the whole point of this exercise, is that, you know, we can't just look at the verses like Ephesians 3 and Romans 16 where Paul says something new is given to me and ignoring these others. But likewise, they can't do that either. And that's what the objectors will do. They will give you the verses that promote their viewpoint and ignore the rest. You see, and they can't do that. So obviously there's got to be an answer to this where Paul's preaching the kingdom of his dear son, the kingdom of God, and he has a dispensation given to him. That's got to be reconciled. There's got to be an answer to this somehow. Okay? Now, one way that some Mid-Acts folks have done it, which I don't think is the correct way and is wrong, one way Mid-Acts folks have done it is that Paul had a new message, a new revelation, but he also taught the kingdom. He just taught both. Right? And, you know, I think in Berean Bible Society, some folks have that inclination. And some mid-expositionalists early on, J.C. O'Hare and things like that, said there was a mixture. Even today, there are some who say, well, Paul taught both kingdom and grace. And they're mid-expositionalists. So the point of me saying that is not to say they're right, but just to say that just because he taught the kingdom doesn't mean he wasn't teaching something else. Okay? Now, we can go on to explain why he was not doing both. Let's look at Mark chapter 1, verse 14. As Aaron pointed out, that word kingdom, we need to describe what in the world this is. Okay? Because first, it's never said that Paul taught the gospel of the kingdom. It's never said that. You can find the verses, as we listed, that Paul preaches the kingdom, and he talks about the kingdom, and he says, you're in the kingdom of his dear son. But not once does it say he preaches the gospel of the kingdom. We find that phrase, the gospel of the kingdom, only in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And in the book of Mark, 1 verse 14, it says, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. So if you're going to define the term gospel of the kingdom of God, it's going to be right here in Mark 1:14. Verse 15 is what he said when he preached the gospel of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So this is the gospel of the kingdom of God. Okay? The time is fulfilled. The time of the kingdom of God is fulfilled. It's at hand. That's the gospel of the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, what time, of course, you should be asking. What time? what fulfillment? Because Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the first books in some people's Bible. Gideon's hand out their Bible, right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's the first thing. They say the time is fulfilled. What time? Well, the time that the prophets foretold. You have to go way back to Genesis 12 and way back to Deuteronomy and way back to the promises that God gave to Israel to know that when God prophesied a future kingdom to Israel, that makes sense when you read Mark 1, verse 15, that the time is fulfilled. And so this isn't a context, okay? The time fulfilled, the kingdom here is in the context of prophetic Israel. Okay, so that he's talking about that promised kingdom is going to come to them. All right. Look at Luke chapter 9. Now, I think I've given you these two verses every week for the last month, I'm pretty sure, which means I'm very repetitive. But that means also, hopefully, you're starting to remember these passages, because these are the ones you need to know to show people that there was a different message that Paul taught than Peter. Okay, Luke chapter 9, verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Okay, so we have here power to cure diseases. They've been sent by Jesus to preach the kingdom of God. Down in verse 6, they departed to preach the kingdom of God and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. What they were sent to do in Luke chapter 9, these disciples, was given power from the Lord Jesus Christ to cure and have authority over devils and heal and that sort of thing, was to go to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God, which is that the kingdom is at hand. It's coming. The prophesied kingdom is coming. Okay? Turn to Luke 18. So we see Mark 1, Jesus teaching the gospel of the kingdom. Luke 9, the disciples preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And Luke 18 is where you need to go to show people that gospel of the kingdom did not include the preaching of the cross. Okay, Luke chapter 18 and verse 31 through 34 is the passage here you need to highlight. Jesus took unto him the 12. These are the same 12 he sent out previously to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And he said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. So we have here, you can lay down a flag and say, this is prophecy. Jesus is saying prophecy is being fulfilled. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, he'll be mocked, he'll be spitefully entreated, spitted on. They shall scourge him and put him to death. That is the cross. And the third day he shall rise again. So we read these verses I don't know how many times. They should be highlighted in your Bible. You should know the reference so you can explain to people that in verse 34, when Jesus told them, I'm going to die according to the prophecies, it says they understood none of these things. Okay? Now, nine chapters before, they were sent to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. Luke 18, they don't know the cross. Okay? I mean, these are two Bible facts. It doesn't take the brain of a turtle to figure this out, that they did not know the cross when they were preaching the kingdom of God. Okay? Now, then you show someone 1 Corinthians 15. And see, already, I mean, you're doing much more Bible study than many people do on an average week. Okay, I don't even crack up their Bible, but already you're doing that. But you need to be able to show people this. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says, this is my gospel, which I preached unto you, by which you are saved. And he says, my gospel is that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures. He died, was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Paul's gospel, our gospel, in 1 Corinthians 15, okay, is not the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom did not include the preaching of the cross. The preaching of the cross is our gospel. The gospel of the kingdom did not include our gospel. You see, there's a difference there. Okay? It's so very clear. And so the objection, and I'm just pointing out the difference, but the objection is, well, the preaching of the kingdom of God did not stop with Paul. Okay? But just because something did not stop with Paul does not mean nothing new started. You see? And so, yeah, you know what also did not stop with Paul? The preaching that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. Jesus came and manifested himself as the Son of God. John says in John 20:31, I write this book to you to prove that Jesus is the Son of God. Right? And you know what Paul also taught? Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Right? You know what Paul also taught? Romans chapter 11, the salvation and kingdom of Israel as it would come in the future. Romans chapter 11, Paul says that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles, and then all Israel shall be saved as God promised them. Right? So Paul explains the postponement, the delay in that coming kingdom. Because the gospel of the kingdom, Mark 1, was the kingdom's at hand. At hand. It's coming. But that prophesied kingdom did not happen. And that's been the question in Christianity for the last 2,000 years. is what did Jesus mean by the kingdom? Because what the prophets said about the kingdom isn't what we see now. Okay? And this is what mid-Acts dispensationalism solves. I think I wrote about it in my email yesterday. You cannot take the Bible literally and understand it without mid-Acts pulling dispensationalism. Okay, you see, well, that sounds kind of pretentious and arrogant, but I haven't found any other way. If you're taking the Bible literally and reading the Old Testament and the promises that God gave to Israel about that kingdom on the earth, the literal kingdom on the earth that it prophesies, okay, 2,000 years ago, Jesus said the kingdom is at hand. Israel didn't have a kingdom reigning over the nations for the last 2,000 years. Okay? So you're going to have to either spiritualize those verses, not take them literally, ignore those verses, say they're mistranslations, so at hand really means sometime in the future, not soon, you know, as everyone else would think that it means. So the only way to take your Bible literally is to be able to rightly divide according to mid-Acts dispensationalism, to say that Paul explains that the kingdom was put on hold, that gospel of the kingdom was postponed. Okay? The objection is, well, Paul preached the kingdom of God. So what? Okay? Where is that kingdom that was promised to Israel? Where the gospel of the kingdom of Mark 1, verse 14, that it didn't happen. Okay? Because God interrupted it by His grace. Not only that, but we've already seen that the gospel of the kingdom is different than the gospel of the preaching of the cross. They're different. It's said that Paul preaches the kingdom of God in Acts 28:31. But Paul's new message was what the disciples did not know. Okay, the preaching of the cross. Paul says he preaches a mystery. Okay? The fact that he has fellow workers under the kingdom of God, so what? Again, the idea there is that what did not stop with Paul was faith in Jesus Christ. And so when Paul's the only one on the planet that understands that God wants him to preach this gospel of the grace of God, Who are his companions? Who are his buddies? Who are the people on his side of the fence? Would he say, well, guys, you're part of the kingdom message and Peter's little flock. I'm supposed to separate from you guys. And well, that's ridiculous. The only people on the planet that believe Jesus is the Son of God and that would believe Jesus Christ gave Paul something new would be those believers in Jesus Christ. And so that's why in Acts 15, or in Acts chapter 13, rather, Paul is found with those people. In Acts 15, he goes to those people in Jerusalem because they're not his enemies. Okay, they're the ones that believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and Paul was given a message by that Jesus Christ. Okay, and so he's not teaching something contrary to what God said would happen in the kingdom of God. Right? What Paul is doing is he's got a revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ about what he's doing now, which has changed from what he was doing in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts. Okay. Now, I point that out to you because the answer that Aaron pointed out, which is also the right answer, is that, well, the kingdom can mean different things. This is true. But it's so hard for some people to grasp that when you say, well, that word means something different. Because it sounds like to them you're making excuses. And so we start out this way and saying, okay, well, let's analyze this. Okay, the kingdom of God's back here being preached. They didn't know the cross. Paul's preaching the cross that they didn't know. There's something different that happened. Call it whatever you want. You can call it, you know, he's preaching apples or whatever. It doesn't matter. They're different. Okay? And so, that Paul preached the kingdom, so what? And yet, it does raise the question, then once you understand that Paul taught something different, and that the mystery was given to Paul and not to the kingdom gospelers, right? Then why does it say that Paul preached the kingdom of God? If he's not preaching the kingdom, the gospel kingdom, yeah.
So, yeah. 28 then, it talks about in chapter 17, verse 17, that he called the chief of the Jews together. Mm-hmm. Then you go down in verse 20,
mm-hmm.
He talks about that, that for the hope of Israel, I am bound with this chain.
Mm-hmm.
Is he talking with them as if they were Jews who did not believe that Jesus was the Messiah?
Right. He's talking to unbelieving Jews in Acts 28.
So
yeah.
He was, you know, testified the kingdom of God concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses. And so he was proving, and also about the out of the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
So he was talking to them about showing them through
that Jesus was the Christ, right? Using the law and the prophets, showing, proving Jesus, right? That's correct. He's talking to unbelieving Jews there, and this is actually the last time that we know that Paul went to them. In Acts 28:28, he says, "I'm done. I'm not going to Israel anymore. I'm going to the Gentiles. They're going to receive it." But in the book of Acts, it records the fall of Israel, and so all throughout the book records the apostles visiting unbelieving Israel with the message of Jesus Christ. You have early in the book of Acts the Pentecostal believers, the Peter and his group, going to them, preaching to them. And later in the book of Acts, you have Paul going to unbelieving Israel, preaching to them. And of course, all throughout the book, unbelieving Israel rejects whomever is preaching to them Jesus Christ. But as Paul goes to unbelieving Israel, you don't go to an unbelieving Jew and start preaching to them the mystery of Jesus Christ when they don't even believe Jesus Christ. You understand? And so our message, that the mystery of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, that we get salvation freely through what Christ did, we must believe first that Jesus was the Christ. Otherwise, he's just a dude that died on a tree, and, you know, what does that mean? Right? He was the Son of God. And that's what John proved, the book of John proves. That's what the 12 apostles were preaching. And that's also what Paul preached when he went to synagogues, that Jesus was the Christ. And he also adds to that the grace that he's given, but they don't get past the Jesus is the Christ part. They just don't even believe he's the Christ. So let alone the grace part. Yeah.
To say that we concentrate on so much on the difference of the gospel that sometimes we don't say what they were preaching that was the same, which is exactly that. You know, Jesus is the Christ. He died. He resurrected. And that's shown if you keep reading in 1 Corinthians 15. Paul's talking about Christ's resurrection and how they preached it.
Yep, how they preached it, yeah. Yeah, and so that Peter at Pentecost, after Christ resurrected, says Jesus, that the Jesus that you saw doing miracles is the prophesied Christ, the Messiah, and he rose from the dead as proof that he was the Son of God. You know, Peter preached resurrection. And so if you are a believer in Peter's group, you believe Christ resurrected from the dead. And so when Paul tells the Corinthians and says, what are you guys doing teaching that resurrection didn't happen or the resurrection isn't real? Because the gospel I preached unto you, and the gospel Peter preached, every gospel that anybody's preaching right now on the earth is Christ raised from the dead. That's this whole point, 1 Corinthians 15. You can't deny the resurrection and believe Jesus is Christ at all. So, yeah, but there's similarities, and Paul uses that. In Romans chapter 1 is the same way. You're in Acts 28, just look on the next page. The next four or five verses there is Paul not teaching his message, but it's Paul saying the Jesus Christ that I'm going to preach to you is the same Jesus Christ that you can read about in the prophecies. Okay, Romans chapter 1, of course, here is talking about his special apostleship, but he says, I'm separated as a servant of Jesus Christ under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Now, what was promised afore? Jesus Christ. Jesus, the Christ, was promised in the prophecies to come to Israel. The Messiah was promised to come. And so verse 3, it says there, concerning his son Jesus Christ, which was made of the seed of David. Right. Well, you can read about the promise given to David in 2 Samuel 7. Of a promised son that would sit on the throne forever. Okay? And then it says he was of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection. And so he's preaching there something that Peter knows as well, that he was declared to be the Son of God by his resurrection from the dead. Jesus said, and if you destroy this temple in 3 days, I'll raise it up again. Okay? Jesus said that the only sign you'll have, unbelieving Israel, that I am who I say I am, is that the sign of the prophet Jonah. Right? He was dead for 3 days in a fish's belly, and he was alive afterwards, you see. And so it's the same thing with Jesus. He was dead, and he'll be alive. And so first five verses there, or four verses rather, not five. The first four verses is Paul saying the Jesus Christ I'm preaching is not some new, different, you know, Jesus Christ. It's the same Jesus Christ of prophecy. And in verse 5 he says, it's by that Jesus Christ, by whom we receive grace and apostleship. So it's by the prophesied Jesus, Jesus you know and have heard and have learned, that I've been given a special message, you see. So that's so important to realize. We just don't preach a totally different person, okay? And the Jesus Christ we preach is not something we cannot verify from the Scripture. We can use all the Bible to prove that Jesus was the Christ. In fact, we have to. Prophecy is how we know Jesus was the Christ, okay? But mystery is how we know what he did for us saves us, you see. So that's the difference. So yeah, in Acts 28, as Kara pointed out, Paul is going to unbelieving Jews and trying to convince them that Jesus is the Christ. He wants to see them saved, and so he's going to tell them about, and he died for your sins, and, you know, and this sort of thing. But they don't get past the part that they believe he's the Messiah. And so obviously the gospel has no effect on them. But he says he, was it in verse 20 there? No, it's verse 23, in Acts 20, 23, where he says he was persuading them concerning Jesus, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets. Right? So you can't find the mystery back there. There's no need to talk the mystery to unbelievers who don't even believe in Jesus. Right? I mean, we preach the gospel to people, and we say Jesus Christ died for your sins, and sometimes they're going, so what? You know, so what? You know, so people die all the time. The fact that he dedicated his death to us, I mean, what does that mean? But see, they don't understand the principle that, you know, we can't pay for our sins. Jesus was God, perfect and sinless, and his blood was undeserved. And God counts his blood as payment for our sins. So that Jesus Christ died for our sins. There's a lot there that people don't hear, you know. And what helps people, too, talking about prophecy and showing them from the law and the prophets, why are they to believe that message when you speak it to them? Why? You say Jesus Christ died for their sins. We haven't seen Jesus Christ at all. No one's seen him resurrected. Nobody has seen. It's all in a book, just words. So how do we know that Jesus Christ was God? Do we just say, oh, we just got to believe it? Well, I can tell you to believe that Barney was the Son of God. You know, you got to believe that too? You know, how do we know that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? Well, you can go back to the Bible, okay, which was written through history before Jesus Christ, and see the prophecies about this Messiah and see how they were fulfilled in that one man and only that man, and no one else could fulfill them. Okay, this is evidence that Jesus is the Son of God. If he is the Son of God, he is capable then, as according to the mystery, of paying for our sins, you see, which is what Paul says he did. So that's how you know.